So if you want to read with me the scriptures that the Lord has put upon my spirit, I'm going to invite you to turn over to the book of John. We're going to read from the 12th chapter and the 20th verse. St. John chapter 12, beginning with verse number 20.
Amen.
You are a scholar and a gentleman.
Praise the Lord. St. John chapter 12 and the 20th verse. And the Bible says, "And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast." There was a large feast going on in the city of Jerusalem. And the Bible says that there were certain Greeks that accompanied many of the Jewish people that came for that festival. And they came up to worship at the feast. And the same came therefore saying to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, and this was their request, saying, "Sir, we would see Jesus." Sir, we would see Jesus. And I'm going to stop right there this morning and ask if you will bow your heads. And we will pray one more time before we minister his word and just ask the Lord for his help, for his anointing to open our hearts and our ears and to open our spirits to receive. Heavenly Father, we are delighted to be able to be in the house of God. Thank you for this opportunity that you have created and generated for us to be able to be here this morning and to be in this place and to have your word open to our hearts. I pray for myself, Lord, that you would anoint me of my own self. I can do nothing. I pray that you would divinely inspire me, put your words in my mind, your words in my mouth, your thoughts upon my heart. Let them come through these lips of clay that are touched by the anointing of the Holy Spirit to speak what you would have me to speak. Bless me with the anointing of the Holy Spirit to be a blessing. Enable me of my own self, Lord, I am incapable. Touch me with your anointing and make me an able minister of the New Testament of the Word of God. Touch the hearers this morning. Touch their ears, not just their natural ear, but their inner ear to hear what the Spirit would say to the church. Touch their ears to hear, their hearts to receive. Help us to receive from your word today and help us to see Jesus. Let him be glorified. Let him be lifted up and let the people of God be edified. And for all of these things this morning, we will forever give you the praise and we will forever give you the thanks. And we believe you for them now in the wonderful and mighty name of Jesus Christ. And everyone in agreement with that prayer said amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So I want to title my message this morning, going to that 21st verse, taking that last line, and simply titling my message, "Sir, we would see Jesus." We have a desire to see Jesus. We would see Jesus. As God began to place this message upon my heart, I happened to think to myself, and maybe you have wondered at times, what would it really be like to see Jesus? Have you ever contemplated such a thought? What would it really be like? Have you ever wondered to yourself what kind of man that he was? What kind of individual was he? I got to thinking about this as the Lord began to lay it upon my heart, and I got to pondering and thinking, what kind of a person would Jesus be if he were alive on planet Earth in the flesh right now here today? What kind of a man do you suppose that he would be? I read a bumper sticker the other day that made me laugh and make me stop and think at the same time. The bumper sticker read, "If Jesus were here, he would ride a Harley." Have you ever seen it? If Jesus were here, he would ride a Harley. And that's when the Lord began to deal with me about this service and this message and this word that he's placed on my heart. From what I have read in the four Gospels, that bumper sticker may not be too far from the truth. There are those that would have us to believe, and there are some that have portrayed Jesus to be a certain way in a clean, spotless, pristine, white robe. Perfectly groomed hair, perfectly groomed beard, smelling like Calvin Klein's Eternity cologne. Right? Have you seen pictures of him? Everything is in place. Some have portrayed Jesus to be politically correct so as not to offend anyone. And there are some that would go so far as to think that he was always meek or always demure in his personality or in his demeanor. But I confess to you this morning that, amen, I don't see Jesus that way. Amen. I don't see Jesus, the Jesus that I read about in the Gospels. Amen. I don't see Jesus as being perfectly groomed and perfectly put together. Amen. I don't see him as part of the white collar, born with a silver spoon in your mouth kind of crowd. I don't see Jesus laying out his church clothes on Saturday night just so he can get up on Sunday morning and go to church and sing a little song and hear a little preaching and go home and have Sunday supper and watch the NFL and say, I have done my part for the week. I think his spirituality went a little deeper than that. Can you say amen? Again, I confess, I do not see Jesus as a man who spent his formative years in seminary so that he could graduate with a theological degree and hold some high place, maybe the chief priest or maybe a head overseer of the Pharisees, so that he could be asked to speak at conferences and direct tours of the Holy Land and sell anointed bottled water on television. Hello, anybody hear what I'm talking about? That's not the kind of Jesus that I picture in the scripture. Amen. As a matter of fact, the Jesus that I read about, when he did go to church, oftentimes he went unwelcome. The Jesus that I read about, when he went to church, oftentimes folks felt uneasy. There are even times where they ask him to leave. Hello? Amen. The Jesus that I read about this morning, he was a man's man. Amen. He was a man among men. He was part of the blue collar crowd. We look around the congregation this morning and we have many that are gone because they are hunting and they are gathering firewood and they are taking care of business. Amen. That's the kind of Jesus that we have. He was a man's man. He was about business. He was about the Father's business. Amen. He was part of the blue collar crowd. He hung out with fishermen. He hung out with common, ordinary, everyday people. He was no stranger to hard work. He was a carpenter. Being a carpenter, he would have had calluses upon his hands. Carpenters in those days did not just work with wood, but they also worked with stone. He would have been built. He would have been muscular in his physique. Amen. The Jesus that I read about, amen, he would have been strong physically. He was rough around the edges. He traveled upon foot. He lived off the land and he lived off of the generosity of the people that he ministered to. The Jesus that I read about in the scripture had no dwelling place to lay his head, but he slept under the stars. And there were times when others would invite him in. Amen. But the Jesus that I read about, he was a fugitive. He was an outlaw. He was a wanted man. He was wanted by the political bunch. He was wanted by the, amen, the religious bunch. Amen. They wanted to either imprison him or kill him. The government didn't like him. The religious order of the day did not like him. He was a threat to many. His friends were few. He was persecuted by hypocrites. He was despised by some and disregarded by others. You know why? Because he hung out with sinner folks. Amen. There was a time, an instance in the Bible where a woman who had many sins came to Jesus. Jesus sat in the house of a Pharisee. And she came to Jesus, and the Bible said that she came and she was so broken and contrite in her spirit and desiring to repent that when she knelt at the disciples or knelt at Jesus' feet in front of the disciples and in front of this Pharisee, that she began to weep and she literally washed his feet with tears. And the Bible says that the Pharisee said to himself, "This is no prophet, because if he were a man of God," talking about Jesus, "if he were a prophet, if he were a man of God, he would know what kind of woman it was that was touching him." Jesus looked at the Pharisee and said, "Let me ask you a question. Amen. Who loves the most? One that has been forgiven much or one that has been forgiven little?" The Pharisee said, "Well, mostly the one that loves much is the one that's been forgiven the most." And Jesus said, "You have rightly said." He said, "Listen here, I came in here and you didn't anoint my head. You didn't wash my feet. You haven't given me anything. And this woman, whose sins were many, has washed my feet with her very tears because she loved much." Amen. What are you saying, Pastor Gary? I'm saying Jesus came, amen, wanted by the religious crowd, wanted by the, amen, by the political crowd. He was an outlaw. He was a fugitive. Others despised him and rejected him because he hung out with sinner folks. I'm certain there were times that his hair was a mess, windblown. His feet were dirty. His face was unwashed. And in my mind, I can almost see him, amen, more than likely sitting upon a Harley than upon a throne. The Jesus that I read about, the Bible tells us that he went about doing good. He went about ministering to the needs of others. I pray to God we get this in our spirit this morning. It's not about us. It's about others. It's about ministering to the needs of others. Jesus went about doing good. Amen. The Bible says in Acts chapter 10 and verse number 38, it tells us how that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. And then the last line says, "For God was with him." I don't see Jesus in a clean, white, pristine robe with his hair all in place and his beard perfectly trimmed. No, I see him going about shaking hands with the outcasts. I see him going about shaking hands with the sinners and offering them salvation and preaching the message of the kingdom. I see him in the highways and the byways offering a cool cup of water to those that are thirsty. I see him in the ghettos along with the lepers who were in need and saying, "Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." And he touched him and said, "I will, be thou clean." I see him on the street corner preaching the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hey, I don't see him taking care of his needs, but I see him reaching out for others' needs. I see him spending the night in Hobo Village. Amen. I see him spending his day in hospital waiting rooms. I see him, amen, as a friend to the friendless. I see him as help to the hopeless. I see him this morning in the homeless shelters. I see him as he offered service and salvation to others. I see him reaching out. My question, amen, to you this morning, those Greeks that came and said, "Sir, we would see Jesus." My question to Elevation Worship Center is, have you seen him lately? Have you seen him lately? Let me remind you this morning that people in the scriptures, when they saw Jesus, they saw him differently. When they saw him, they saw many different things, because he was and is many different things. The shepherds and the wise men saw him as a baby king. Herod the king saw him as competition. Herod sat upon the throne, and when he heard that there had been a child that was born king of the Jews, Herod saw him as competition. Amen. The multitudes saw Jesus, and when they saw him as a provider. How many of you remember reading the stories, how that he multiplied the fish and multiplied the bread and provided for their needs and healed their sicknesses? They saw him as a provider. The religious leaders saw Jesus, but they saw him as a threat. They saw him as one that had come preaching another gospel, of one that had come to preach the gospel of the kingdom and to usher in the new covenant and to, amen, antiquate and do away with the old covenant. They saw him as a threat to their religious beliefs. Peter saw him, and when Peter saw him, he got a revelation from God. Peter saw him as the Christ, the Messiah. The spiritually hungry saw him as a teacher and a preacher and one that spoke having authority in God. Amen. The oppressed saw him. Amen. They saw Jesus as a deliverer. The Romans saw Jesus as an insurrectionist. But the sincere seeker that was really hungry for the things of God, they saw the salvation of the Lord. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Different people saw him in different ways. The Greeks come to us here in our text, and they saw him as someone they desired to know better. Someone that they desired to know in a more intimate fashion, in a more intimate way. The Greeks that are referred to here in our text had come desiring to meet, desiring to get to know, desiring to see Jesus. Now, if you read that 12th chapter, you will read about the triumphant entry into Jerusalem. You will read that Jesus comes riding into Jerusalem upon the foal of a donkey. And when he comes riding into town, the Bible says when he come nigh unto the descent of the Mount of Olives, when he got right down to the bottom of the mountain and began to enter into the city of Jerusalem, all of Jerusalem exploded in praise. And they began to lay their palms, the leaf, the trees, the branches from the tree in the middle of the road. And they begin to shout, "Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord." And they watched Jesus move into the city and come into the city with great shouts of praise. The Pharisees said, "Lord, don't you hear your disciples? Rebuke them." And Jesus said, "I tell you the truth. If I tell these to hold their peace, that the rocks and the stones will cry out unto me." Amen. The Greeks saw all of this action from afar off. They watched him come into the city of Jerusalem. They heard the shouts of praise, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. And they wanted to know, who is this man called Jesus? Who is this man called Jesus? They had witnessed him riding into town. They had seen all of these things, and they come to Philip privately. Said, Philip, we would see Jesus. Sir, we would see Jesus. Please take us to Jesus. We're looking for a more intimate encounter. We've watched from the sidelines, and now we want a face-to-face. We want an up-close, personal encounter with God. Amen. You hear what I'm talking about? Amen. Let me just tell you this morning, I believe that is the cry of this world. I believe that is the heart's cry of those that are in the world this morning. They are crying in their spirit, sir, we would see Jesus. That is the cry of every hungry heart. That is the cry of every hurting heart. Amen. Oh, let me see Jesus. Amen. That is the cry of every struggling heart. Sir, we would see Jesus. That is the cry of every soul that is in bondage, that cannot free themselves. Oh, God, if he's real, let me get to Jesus. That is the cry of every weighted down heart who is weighted down with condemnation and sin. Let me get to Jesus. Show me to Jesus. The world is hungry for the reality of Jesus. Let me say that again. The world is hungry for the reality of Jesus Christ. Amen. The world is not looking for more religion. There's enough religion in the world. The world is not looking for just a story. They're looking for the reality and the real life, Jesus Christ. Oh, help me, Lord. And unfortunately, legalistic religion has given them a list of rules and regulations, a list of do's and don'ts. And a lot of people think that's what Christ is all about. Hello? I said religion has given people a list of do's and don'ts and regulations. And there are a lot of people that have come to believe that that's what Jesus is all about. That's not so. What do you mean, Pastor Gary? I've been in church circles where they tell you, you got to dress like this and you got to look like that. And you got to comb your hair like this, and you got to dress, and you got to act like, and you got to talk. And what they're looking to do is make a perfect kooky cutter Christian. Hello? God made all of us individual. I've been in church circles. Listen, I've been in church. I evangelized on the evangelistic field for 20 years. I've been in some church circles that if you wore a necktie, you were proud. I've been in other church circles that if you didn't wear a necktie, you were irreverent. I've been in some church circles that if you wore a tie chain, you were gaudy. And if you had on rings, you were arrogant. Hello? Who made up all that mess? I preached in a church one time. I remember, and the Lord warned me about it before I ever went. I was in prayer one day. I had an itinerary that would take me to Melbourne, Florida, to Atlanta, Georgia, and then to a community called Norristown, Georgia. I had revival scheduled. Before I got on the plane, I was praying, and the Lord spoke to me and said, "What would you do if you had to shave off your beard?" And I said to myself, "Where in the world did that come from? I'm trying to pray." And I continued to pray, and the same voice just returned. What would you do if you had to try, or if you had to shave off your beard in order to preach? And this is why I said, well, if it offended somebody, I'd shave it off. And it lifted, it went away. I got on a plane, flew into Melbourne, Florida, flew into Orlando, went to Melbourne, Florida for the revival. Third night of the revival service in Melbourne, Florida, a young man come up after me after the service, come up to me and said, "Pastor Gary, I understand that you are going to Norristown, Georgia when you leave here for revival." I said, "I am." He said, "Well, I don't know how to tell you this. I enjoyed the service tonight, brother, but I don't know how to tell you this. They will not receive you with your beard." I said, "Oh, is that right?" "Oh, they will not let you on the platform." I said, "Well, I don't know what they figured that they plucked out of Jesus's face, because the Bible said they plucked his beard." But somewhere or another, the folks in Norristown equated facial hair with worldliness. And so they expected everybody else to live up to their standard or their expectation. Amen. You hear what I'm talking about? The religion has given everybody a list of do's and a list of don'ts and a list of you can't and a list of you should and all kinds. Oh, who made up all that mess? Take me to Jesus. And when I get to Jesus, amen, he'll teach me how to walk in a godly fashion. Show me to Jesus and he'll teach me how to live a life that is pleasing in his presence. Hallelujah. Just show me to Jesus. Amen. Because I know when people see Jesus, when they get a glimpse of his glory, amen, it'll change their life. When they get a glimpse of his glory, when people see Jesus, sinners are set free. How do you know that, preacher? Because I got set free myself one day. Amen. I got set free myself one day. Hey, hallelujah. Sinners are set free when people see Jesus. I'm not talking about growing up in the church, amen, and watching mom and daddy worship. I'm not talking about growing up in the church and being around other people that have been touched by the master. No, no, no. I'm talking about getting a real life touch yourself. When you see Jesus, it'll change you from the inside out. He'll work you over and make a brand new creation and a brand new creature in Christ Jesus out of you. Amen. When people see Jesus, drug addicts get delivered. When people see Jesus, alcoholics get set free from bondage. When people get a real glimpse of Jesus, immoral living becomes a thing of the past. When people really get a glimpse of the glory of Jesus Christ, those who are down and out get brought up and brought over to victory. When people really see Jesus, the weary and the worn get lifted and restored. How many of you need lifted and restored this morning? What you need is a glimpse of the glory of God. What you need is to get alone and see Jesus operating in your life. What you need is some time and some fellowship in the presence of the Lord. Amen. When people see Jesus, folks that have big problems begin to realize that their big problem isn't as big as their great big God. When people see Jesus, amen, those who cannot see the light of day begin to see the light of his glory. I'm here to tell you this morning, what we need is to be led to the cross. What we need is to be led to Jesus Christ. And behold, he will make all things new. Hallelujah. Have you seen him lately? Have you seen him lately? Hey, well, Pastor Gary, he's not here on planet Earth in the flesh. Oh, yes, he is. Sometimes we don't see him as we ought to see him because he's working through us, and sometimes we get in the way. Hello? The Bible teaches us that we, you and I, are the body of what? Christ. The body of Christ. Now listen, this is how it worked. Jesus said to his disciples, he said, look, fellas, I am going to go away. But I'm not going to leave you comfortless. And I'm not going to leave you here to operate on your own. He says, nevertheless, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come. But if I go away, I will send the Comforter unto you. And he will be in you. He'll be operating in your life. And he won't talk about himself, but he will show you things concerning me. Hello? This is what he said in John 14:23. Jesus said unto them, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him. And I love this last line. And we, God the Father and Jesus, and we will come unto him and we will make our abode with him. Now, let's clear out the old English, and this is what he said. If you keep the commandments of your God, if you keep my words, Jesus said, my Father will love you. And he said, and I and my Father will come to you, and we will live, we will take up our, we'll move into your life. We will move into your heart. Amen. Somebody said, I wish Jesus was on planet Earth in the flesh. He is. He's in us. He's living and abiding down in us. He has made his abode in us. We are the hands of God that are extended to this world. We are the voice of compassion. We are his feet. Amen. We are his body at work in this world today. Colossians chapter 1. Verse number 27, Paul is writing to the church in Colossae, and this is what he says. And I'm going to read the God's Word translation. It says, God wanted his people to know throughout the world, to know that the glorious riches of this mystery, which is, this is the glorious mystery, this is the riches of the mystery, that Christ is living in you. That's the mystery of the work of God's Spirit in our lives. Jesus is living in us. He's living in us, giving us the hope of glory. So what he is saying is that Christ is living in our hearts. We are the body of Christ. What we do in his name is a direct representation of who he is. That's why we are supposed to live a godly life. That's why we are supposed to live a chaste life before the Lord. That's why we are supposed to live as he lived, because he is living in us. Why would I carry him someplace that he did not want to go? Why would I be doing something that he would not approve of? Hello? I believe that's the true definition of taking the Lord's name in vain, claiming to be one thing and then doing something, amen, that we ought not to be doing. Because he lives in us. The Bible says, Paul said it in Galatians. He said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I. I'm not the one that lives. But Christ lives in me. And the life, he said, that I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and died and gave himself for me. In other words, Gary was crucified and died a long time ago. And now what you see ought to be Jesus Christ ruling and reigning and living and operating in me every day. Not just on Sunday. Shout now. Amen. But every day of the week, We are his voice of compassion. We are his hand extended. We are. Have you seen him lately? Well, let me just tell you, if you have, it's been through someone who was committed and dedicated and consecrated to the Lord, because he operates in and through his church, operates in and through his body. Beloved, when people come to Elevation Worship Center, I don't want them to just see Elevation Worship Center having church in a school building. I want them to see Jesus. Amen. I don't want them coming through the door and just seeing Pastor Gary. I want them to see Jesus. Amen. The church itself can't do anything for you. I can't do anything for you. But if I can just get you to Jesus, if I can point you the way to Jesus, amen. When folks come through the door, amen, I want them to know that they are coming here to find out what Jesus is all about. Our number one priority as a church is to love God with all of our heart, all of our soul, and all of our might, and love our neighbor as ourself, and point others in the right direction when they come saying, "Sir, we would see Jesus." Tell him he's right over here. Hallelujah. And I'm going to tell you something. Everybody that saw Jesus had a reaction. Everybody that got a glimpse of him had a reaction. Some people fell at his feet with joy and worshiped. Others fell on their face and repented. Some rejoiced in his presence. At times it caused demon spirits to evacuate an individual's life. How many of you remember the demonic of Gadarene? Jesus said, "Go," and they went. At times it brought healing to those who were sick with disease and their bodies were healed. Every time someone saw Jesus, they had a reaction. Peter, Andrew, James, and John, when they saw him, they laid down their nets, left their boats, and abandoned their occupation. They were fishermen, and they left it all behind so they could follow him. I said folks had a reaction when they got in the presence of the Lord. Peter saw Jesus and he got a revelation from the Lord and said, "I know who you are. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Thomas got a revelation of who Jesus was. And when he saw him, Thomas, all he could say was, "My Lord and my God." You hear what I'm talking about this morning? John the Baptist saw him coming down the banks of the Jordan River and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." Every time somebody saw Jesus, there was a chain reaction in their heart. When folks come through the door of this church, brother, I want them to come in and I want them to see Jesus in our smile. I want them to see Jesus in our attitude. I want them to see Jesus in our speech. I want them to see Jesus in the message that's preached, in the songs that are sung, in the hearts and the lives of not just the pastor, but everybody sitting in the pew. I want them to see Jesus Christ. Ooh. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. When they come to Elevation Worship Center, I want them to find hope and not condemnation. Hello? How many of you have ever gone to church and felt like you were beat up before you got to the parking lot? I've been there. I'm like, "Dear God in heaven." No, when they come, I want them to find hope and not condemnation. Amen. I want them to find the reality of Jesus Christ, because Jesus did not come to bring condemnation to us. Can you prove that with scripture? I can. I'm glad you ask. John 3:16. How many of you can quote that one? "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Verse 17, for God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. God did not send Jesus to bring condemnation. I'm going to tell you, if you are living in sin, sin itself will bring condemnation. But the Bible said, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. You know why? Because he has set us free. Amen. I want them when they come to, amen, find hope and not condemnation. I want them to know that Jesus loves them and that we accept them and we welcome them just as they are. I want them to know that the color of our skin matters not. Our ethnic heritage matters not. Amen. I want them to know that we are all brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. That there are no big I's and little U's, because he is no respecter of persons. In other words, he doesn't favor me and put you, amen, in second place. God doesn't favor any of us. Amen. God loves all of us the same. You hear what I'm talking about? I want them to know that we accept them from all walks of life, even the fallen and the down and out. I want them to understand there is no judgment here. I am not your judge. You are not your neighbor's judge. You hear me? Amen. I'm not your judge. You are not your neighbor's judge. We are all sinners saved by grace. We are all sinners that have been saved by grace, washed in the blood of the Lamb, who are striving to live a godly life. And oftentimes we fall short of the glory of God. But I want them to see not the sin, but the salvation of the Lord. Hallelujah. When they come saying, sir, I want to see the real Jesus. I've tasted of religion, but I want to know, amen, if you can show me to the real, genuine Jesus. Amen. I'm going to tell you what, the real, genuine Jesus this morning, amen, has his arms stretched out, his arms of love, amen, saying, come unto me, all ye that are weary and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, he said. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly at heart, and you shall find rest unto your soul. Pastor Gary, don't you believe in godly living? Look at me. I absolutely believe in godly living. But I don't believe in following a list of rules. I believe in falling in love with Jesus. And when Jesus gets in my heart, he changes my outlook on ungodly things. And the things I used to do, I no longer desire to do. Why? Because I fell in love with the Master. Amen. When people come to Elevation Worship Center searching for the Lord and saying, sir, we would see Jesus, I want them to see peace and not strife. We cannot be, amen, in peace and in harmony with the Lord if we are at one another's throats. Hello? Jesus said this, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples. If you have love one to another, if you are operating in love, and I realized this morning that we are all unique people and we won't all be best friends. And there are those of us here this morning that have different interests and we follow those different interests, amen, here and there. But I'm gonna tell you what brings us together is the blood of Jesus Christ and the love of God, amen, for his son. And that love should place within our hearts a love for one another that the world cannot deny and the world cannot, amen, say does not exist. Amen. We need to love one another. when they come searching for the Lord, I want them to find in our body, I want them to find integrity and honesty. Integrity and honesty. Amen. I'm not going to stand up here Sunday after Sunday and pretend that I never blow it. I'm not going to stand up here Sunday after Sunday and pretend that I got it all together. There are moments and times in my life when I ain't got it all together. And I have to fall on my face and say, God, have mercy upon my heart. Amen. Just like you do. Amen. I want them to find honesty. I want them to find an honest discussion about a struggling human being trying to be perfect in the eyes of a perfect God. Amen. Leaning on the everlasting arms of the Lord to help see us through. Hallelujah. Jesus said, you'll know the truth and the truth will make you free. John 8:32. You'll know the truth and the truth will make you free. Beloved, when they come into this house, I want them to hear the unadulterated, absolute, founded fact, rightly divided word of the living God, because it is the word of God that will set us free. Amen. I want them to find fellowship and not a cold shoulder. How many ever been someplace and you were in a crowd and you knew you really weren't welcome? I've been there. I want them to find fellowship and not a cold shoulder.
But Pastor Gary, you don't know how they're living.
You know what I know? I know how I used to live. And I know somebody put their arm around me and said, Jesus loves you. I don't approve of your sin. But I want you to know I love you. I want you to know that Jesus loves you. I want you to know that I'm your friend. I want you to know that if you need a help and hand, you can call me. I want you to know we care. I want them to find fellowship and not a cold shoulder. I want them to find salvation and not damnation. You hear what I'm talking about? I want them to find salvation and not damnation. I absolutely believe that those that go unsaved and refuse to call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ will be lost, and they will be lost in eternity and in damnation without God. That's Bible. But that's just one side of the story. We were all headed that direction. We were all headed for damnation. The other side is that Jesus came to save. And he came to save to the uttermost. And he came to forgive and to release us from our bondage and give us eternal life. I don't want them just to hear about damnation. I want them to hear about the salvation of our Jesus. You hear what I'm talking about this morning? I want them to hear about, amen, Jesus. I want them to see Jesus in us. I'm going to close with these final thoughts this morning. Sir, we would see Jesus. Sir, we would see Jesus. Have they seen him lately? In our lives? Have they seen him in our attitudes? In our lifestyle? In the words that we choose to speak? Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Have they seen him in us? Have they seen him in us? We are a part of his body upon this earth. It is my prayer this morning that we so are filled with the love of God and the presence of God that we begin to take on a family resemblance. that we begin to talk like he talks, walk like he walks. Our attitude is like his attitude. That we so become filled with him and our self being crucified to this selfish, sinful nature that he now lives in us. And words that are spoken are encouraging words. Words that uplift and uphold and point the way to God's salvation. Sir, we would see Jesus. Let me just tell you something this morning. The only Jesus that this world is going to see is what they see in us. He's not coming back to this earth in the flesh. He's coming back to this earth at some point in time in a glorified body to rule and reign. But what I'm saying this morning is if you're waiting for him to return and dwell in the flesh and set another example for those to live by, that's not going to happen. It's us. We are a light, like a city that is set on a hill. And he said, therefore, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. In other words, let me be seen in you. So go where he would go. Do what he would do. Be what he would be. Say what he would say. You hear what I'm talking about this morning? Sir, we would see Jesus. My heart's cry this morning is let Jesus be seen in me. Let others see Christ in my example. Let others see Jesus in my life. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Sir, we would see Jesus. We would see Jesus. The world is hungry for the reality of Jesus Christ. The world is hungry for the reality of Jesus Christ. Let's be that light. Let's be that example. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, in Jesus' name this morning, I'm thankful for the help that you have given to me to minister the word that you've laid upon my spirit. Help us to understand that when Jesus went away, he sent back the promise of his Father, sent back his Holy Spirit to dwell within our hearts richly, to enable us to walk in the Spirit and not the lusts of the flesh. And he did so to make us his body upon this earth, moving in unison and moving in fellowship and moving to honor and lift up the name of our God. Lord, when others come seeking a face-to-face with you, help them see you in us. I don't want to be the cause. I don't want to be the cause, Lord, of someone searching for you and coming and running into my life and saying, well, if that's what Jesus is all about, I don't want any. We are supposed to be salt. We are supposed to be light. We are supposed to make others thirsty for Jesus. We are supposed to shine the light upon a path that leads to him. Help us this morning on an individual level and a corporate level as the church, Elevation Worship Center, to do just exactly that. Love God, love each other, and point the way to Jesus Christ. I ask it in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. How many of you here in this place this morning would be willing to slip up your hand and say, Pastor Gary, I needed to hear this message this morning. I needed to hear this word. Yes, 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 yes. God sees your hands and yes. Amen. I needed to hear this word this morning. I needed to remember that I am part of his body, pointing the way to him. How many of you would stand to your feet and just say to the Lord, as you lift up your hands to the Lord in prayer this morning, you lift up your hands and just say to him, Lord, help me to be light. Help me to be salt. Help me to point the way to Jesus Christ. Let him so live in me that when others are searching for Christ and the reality of Christ and not the dead, empty results of religion, but when they're searching for the reality of Jesus, let them see something in me that testifies of his grace, his glory, his mercy, his majesty. Help us, Lord, on an individual level, on a corporate level, to honor and magnify and glorify your wonderful name. Help us this morning, oh God, to lead others to Christ Jesus. Help us to lead others to Christ Jesus. I thank you, Father God, for every hand that has been lifted. I thank you for every heart that is humbly talking and speaking and crying out to you now, saying, Lord, I've been challenged. Now change me. So flood my heart and my spirit with your presence that I'm changed and that others see Christ in me. I ask all of these things, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Father, as we dismiss this morning from the house of God, as we leave this place and we enter into the remainder of this week, I pray that you would go with us, that you would favor us with your presence, that you would shelter us with your protecting hand, that you would provide for every need of every household in this place. Lord, that you will touch our lives and bring someone into our life that we may witness to, that we may minister to, that we may make a difference in their life. Bring someone into our path this week that we may let the light of Jesus Christ shine. For all of these things, Lord, we will be grateful and we will be eternally thankful. We ask them in Jesus' name, and everyone said amen. Amen. I appreciate you being here this morning.